Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Jobber Circle Wrestling Podcast. We were actually supposed to come out with an episode after Elimination Chamber, which we technically were going to.
Yeah.
Until we realized 10 minutes into the episode.
Until this one over here.
Yeah, I didn't hit record on the recorder. but we got raw camera footage, so who knows? We are going to be doing another tier on our Patreon, a Jobber Circle tier. So who knows? Maybe that one will end up on the Jobber Circle tier. So go out, go ahead and check on patreon.com/caveinuniverse to check out that Jobber Circle tier. But nonetheless, today we're going to be actually rating Elimination Chamber with what's been going on after Elimination Chamber. So technically, we're rating the road to WrestleMania.
Yes, that's a good way to put it, for sure.
Yeah.
So should we just get like right into it?
Go ahead.
I know there wasn't that many matches, but...
Yeah, we'll go ahead and talk about the Elimination Chamber matches and kind of like quickly rate them and then maybe kind of like veer off from the match and talk about what each person is going to be doing. Into the road to WrestleMania.
That's a good idea.
So to start off, we had the Women's Elimination Chamber match. Of course, it was a great Elimination Chamber overall.
It was pretty good.
And of course, we knew it was going to start with the Elimination Chamber match and the Women's Elimination Chamber match.
Yeah.
Nikki Cross was out first. Liv Morgan was out second. Of course, she did the whole, you know, she passed out getting like double submissioned.
Right.
So, make her look strong. Yeah, she got moving on. Then Natty got eliminated. Then after, again, making Raquel look strong. Raquel got the double pin, got eliminated by double pin.
Yeah.
Then, of course, we had Carmella and Asuka were the last two in the Women's Elimination Chamber match. Jesus. Mm-hmm. Just had me one of these speedballs here.
Something
I saw off of TikTok. Definitely works.
Jail speedball.
But yeah, to end it, Asuka is the first and only woman to win the Elimination Chamber match, the Royal Rumble match, and the Money in the Bank match. And it's kind of cool when we saw that, or when I saw that note online, it's like she kind of like went through her gimmick change with each win because when she won the Royal Rumble, she was the original, you know, Asuka, you know, with the line paint. Mm-hmm. And then when she won the Money in the Bank, that's when she had the poison mist eye drip paint. And then now she has this new, or not new, or returning.
Right.
Her
darker look.
Darker, yeah. Kind of Asuka.
Yeah.
And she won the Elimination Chamber. So, I mean, Asuka's, honestly, she's going to be she's Hall of Fame worthy at this point.
She really is.
Because, she really is.
Like I was telling you the last time we saw her, she was just on this week's Raw. After Elimination Chamber, she had a match against Nikki Cross. And like I told you, like, she doesn't even cut her own promos. Like, she does by, like, having, like, her, you know, how she will speak, like, you know, Japanese and, like, you know, yell and be loud and stuff like that. Like, she can pull it off that way. But she doesn't actually get on the mic and have a full conversation with the person that she's, you know, getting ready to face. And the fact that works for her is pretty impressive.
She made it work. I think it took a while. And I think that's what a lot of people were worried about. And I think sometimes it does kind of, it is hard with some feud she's going in with, so she kind of veers off, but then she always finds her way back to the top because you're right, she just makes it work without it.
Yeah. And then
that's rare you can do that.
And she just recently returned with her new look, and she was gone for a while and a lot of people were concerned, and when she did return, I remember that pop was just so huge.
So of course, her and Bianca Belair, I think that should be a good match at WrestleMania.
Her and Bianca Belair, I'm hoping that you know, Bianca Belair, she's a good champ, you know, and she's been she's been dominating, you know, she kind of carries Raw in the women's division area, you know, minus Becky, of course, and I guess Rhea Ripley.
I was thinking about this when we're watching SmackDown tonight, but when do you think they're going to eventually unify the women's titles like they have with the, you know, the World Heavyweight and the, you know, or, you know, the WWE and the Universal?
Well, we'll talk about that more when we get down to the main event, but I'm actually hoping that they split them up. I kind of want the champions to go back to their own shows.
Yeah, I mean, I've always, because, you know, it's been like that for years with the split titles, and I've always liked the original, you know, when I first started watching wrestling, it was just one title. Mm-hmm. But then I see now that when you don't have two titles and you have one title, it's hard to, it's kind of hard with backing yourself in your corner with storylines. Of course, we're going to talk about the Roman Reigns Sammy match at the end. But of course, if you're listening to this, you've already seen and you know what's happened in Elimination Chamber. We're recording this on SmackDown, so we've already seen Elimination Chamber, already seen Raw, already seen SmackDown.
Yep.
But this is a case where if they would have kept it two separate titles, you could have had Sami Zayn feuding with, you know, if Roman was the Universal Champion or whatever, or whoever else, you could have had their Sami's chance, and then you have, you know, Roman Reigns or insert other champion here,
right,
versus Cody Rhodes. Two great paths, mm-hmm, but now you backed yourself in the corner where you had the, let's go ahead and just jump. We can, this is our podcast. We can do what we want. Yeah. Let's just go ahead and jump to the end. Now you have something where people back themselves in a corner with Roman and Sami Zayn. This speedball's working. And I think, and I don't know, that's apparently there's another name for that. That's like a drug. It's not what I'm talking about, people.
No.
This is just soda and coffee, yeah, apparently.
And since we're clarifying our drinks, I don't want anyone to think I'm pregnant and drinking beer. This is Diet Pepsi.
Yeah.
Diet Pepsi, there you go there.
The Roman and Sami match, before we officially start with that, what did you think of the women's elimination chamber match? I'm going to give it a 3. I think it was a This Is Awesome.
I think I'm going to give it a 2.
I think it was over.
Yeah.
Or it got a pop.
Yeah.
Got a pop. That's right. We changed it.
Yes, we did. Yes. We clarified that on the last
non-released
episode.
Yes. After we never knew what our rating system is for number 2. Of course, number 1 is a potato. That's the only technically bad rating you can get on our system.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2, we said it was good. Then we went to solid. Then we
went that it was over.
Over. And even last episode, we were like, is it, we're going to do over or we're going to do a pop? And we decided on over.
Mm-hmm.
But then when we said it during the episode, we're like, I don't like the way that sounds.
Yeah.
So, if it gets a 2, it gets a pop.
Yes.
So you give it a pop.
So I'm going to give it a pop. Yes. And then, of course, the rating system, like you said,
3 is This Is Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
4 is Elite. Awesome. Yeah. And 5, which is very rare, is a brass ring.
Mm-hmm.
The Roman and Sami Zayn, back themselves in a corner, but I think this is it. Like, this is what Sami Zayn's big moment, and, you know, it's kind of sucks, but I think they're just going to, now you can just, I don't know, you can fully focus on Roman and Cody, but the whole Sami and Bloodline story isn't over because, I guess you're going to have, are him and Kevin Owens going to go against the Usos?
I don't know. On Raw, Kevin Owens says that he doesn't, that he's not up for it. But, yeah, you but know, he might change his mind.
Yeah.
So, definitely. And then, I don't know what's going on to now SmackDown. It was kind of weird.
Yeah, like they said, we left SmackDown with more questions because we don't know which side technically Jay's going with. I think eventually that's what's going to happen. You're going to have this whole, what side does Jay go with? And there's eventually going to be a beatdown where Jay finally, you know, he's not going to go against his family and his brothers, twin brothers.
Right.
So there's going to be a beatdown of Sami. And then who's going to come help Sami? But Kevin Owens. And then there you go. That's the match right there. That's my prediction.
Yep. I'm going to stand behind that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll stand behind you and support that.
But the Roman Reigns, Sami Zayn match, just the energy alone. Just the energy alone of the crowd and the chants of the crowd and how loud, like, that's, I mean, I'm not going to go. It was nowhere near as big as that WrestleMania moment of WrestleMania 18, the classic Rock and Hogan, where they were just standing there staring at each other and the crowd was just going crazy for 10 minutes. It was kind of like that. But I mean, obviously not as big as WrestleMania. You got the WrestleMania crowd versus, of course, it was Sami Zayn's home crowd. So that, you know, they were going crazy because of that. But nonetheless, I mean, not to take anything away from the crowd. The crowd was awesome. The crowd was electric.
Yeah.
It felt like that type of moment. So just on that alone, I think brings it up to at least a 2 or a 3.
Yeah.
But what would you rate it overall?
I would rate it a 3.
Okay.
I would, I would give it a This Is Awesome. And then just a couple of things I wanted to add was that I definitely feel like how you said with it being in Canada, like Sami Zayn, this was like his big moment. They made it very personal for him. You know, to have his family there, and they even had like his wife a kind of a part of it. You had Roman over here saying like, I wanted to make you part of my family. I was going to support y'all. Oh, and his wife is just in the crowd like, no, being like getting all into it, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. And then a same thing too about the crowd, like just a super high crowd. And, one thing I notice is, and this is not like, I shouldn't even say that because I don't want to make it sound wrong. But let me just say that when I noticed WWE, when they go to other countries, the crowd just tends to be a little bit better than it is here in America. You got some duds here in America, depending on what city they're in. But I noticed like in Canada.
Oh, yeah. Overseas, crazy. They're always. Yeah.
Saudi Arabia, they're always, you know, always high in the, you know.
Well, see, I never understood this as a kid, but when I was a kid, I would watch wrestling, you know, obviously, and they would go to things like Canada and UK and stuff when, you know, watching it when I was little. And I would never notice how Like, even Jerry the King Lawler said one time, like, during a Raw or something, like, oh, we're in Canada. This is bizarro land over here because the fans, you know, they just cheer for the crazy, you know, craziest thing. Because I noticed when I was kid, I was like, why when they go to, like, Canada and, like, UK and stuff, like, they're, like, cheering for the heels and they're, like, kind of, like, booing the baby faces. Like, I never understood that when I was little. And then as I grew up, I realized, like, oh, like, no, the Canadian and, like, these, you know, UK foreign crowds, they're actually the smart fans. Right. Like, they're actually the fans that are more, like, as I transitioned from just a normal kid fan to a smart fan, knowing, you know, being more interested in behind the scenes news and actually in ring news sometimes, I realized that, like, oh, no, those crowds are actually the smart, like, actual fans that are actually into it. They're not just the casual fans in Kentucky watching wrestling and just, oh, I'll go get front row seats and maybe I'll see Lita and Kane and like those people, like, why? Mm. How do you, like, that's literally like how do you stop watching wrestling for years and then go to a wrestling show expecting to see your old favorites and then disappointed when you see the new faces? Like, who are you? It's like, what? Yeah. It's like, you're the one that stopped watching season 3 and then started watching again on season 10. Yeah. It's like, that's literally equivalent to what you're doing when you stop watching wrestling and then you're like, oh, wrestling's in town in Kentucky, I'm gonna go. But then you sit there when Bronson Reed comes out because you don't know who the fuck he is because you're not a real fan. You're not watching every week.
Right.
So don't go to the shows if you're not watching every week. You literally are ruining the reactions for everyone.
Mm-hmm. And you're wasting a seat, to be honest with you, for a fan that actually, you know, knows what they're, you know, knows about everything.
Oh, yeah. I'd rather have a smaller crowd of smart fans that are actually, like, going to get me into it and cheer for, you know, the right things and react to the right things than a sold out arena of these freaking, you know, I don't mean to bash Kentucky, but that's usually where it is when they're, like, in, you know, Kentucky or, like, New Mexico. Or New Mexico is actually pretty wild crowd. There was another one. Where were they in? Like, Kansas? They're in, like, Kansas or something. Kansas, and, like, it's, like, all, like, it's just the dud crowds. I hate that.
Uh-huh.
You know, you go to, I mean, we're a Texas crowd. Yeah, we can say that because we're from Texas. Any crowd in Texas is pretty good.
Yeah.
You know?
Very true. Yeah. So anytime we go to any Austin shows, it's pretty electric.
Yeah. So come at me, Kentucky. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, man. Did you rate this match?
The Roman and Sammy?
Mm-hmm. The Romaine?
Romaine, lettuce, and Sammy?
Yeah.
I give it a 3.
Yeah.
I give it a 3. I didn't really care for the whole knocking out two refs. Like, really?
Right.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
Even my dad, who, like, tends to, you know, be more, like, into it, like, thinking it's, you know, it's legit, was like, even, like, he was like, all right, come on, dude.
Yeah.
Not that he thinks, I think he likes to suspend his disbelief. So when something like that happens, it takes you out of it. Like, okay, come on.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
He's the king of kayfabe.
That's actually a good one. It's pretty good.
Very true.
Good. Yeah. So let's jump back up to Bobby versus Brock.
Bobby versus Brock.
Yeah, so spam finisher start. This is literally like when you play WWE 2K and, you know, you start each wrestler off with the max amount of strength and finishers. And that's all it was, is that you had F5, 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 spear, Hurt Lock, and Brock's camp trying to find every way to get out. So he ends up kicking Bobby nuts, DQ. Based on, I would have given this match a 2, just based on how it was pretty action-packed at first. But based on the way this is going now, after the fact that we don't know where this is going, where Omos is challenging Brock, and then where's Bobby lie, and then Bray Wyatt, like, that's, this match is a potato. It's a potato.
Yeah, this
so far match, this story gets a potato, not to cut you off.
No, this match makes me think that they did not prepare at all, so they were just like, let's just do our finishers over and over. And then Brock is just like the definition of like those type of people who like do something and then when they have like when they get the consequences, they just get pissed off about it. Like, constantly is throwing a fit. Like, you knew what you were doing when you kicked your leg back. Like,
So where does this lead? Because Omos challenges Brock, but then now we're hearing in the rumor mill that maybe it's going to be a four-way, you know, monster type match where it's Bray versus Brock versus Omos versus Bobby in a Cinnamon Toast Crunch brawl. I don't know.
No Dairy Queen, no DQ match.
Yeah, there needs to be, like you said, that was a good idea when you were like, Dairy Queen, it's a sponsor, one of these companies, so it can be a Dairy Queen, no DQ match.
Yeah. Gets me every time.
I don't know what's going on with this, and I don't know what the hell is going on with Bray Wyatt. Like, holy shit, I know.
I feel bad.
I appreciate long-term storytelling, but Jesus.
Yeah.
Talk about boring storytelling.
This is far. Yeah, this is going on longer than long term.
And the sublim. I mean, I do like understand what he's trying to get at with the whole Firefly Funhouse subliminal message type deal, but it just not.
I don't know what that episode or I don't know what that segment was tonight on.
It would be good, it would be exciting and cool if he did that for a month and then that was it, we moved on and figured out what this was about. But when you're doing the exact same thing every week, that's not long-term storytelling. That's lazy storytelling. Mm-hmm. sorry to say
that's, you know? like the fans are wondering like what's going on and kind of like getting out of it, because at this point it's like sometimes I forget Uncle Howdy exists because we yet to know who this guy even really is. Like, is he just gonna maintain his Uncle Howdy like in a mask? We're never gonna know. Is he just a stand-in? Like, who is he?
This is like at one point Bray Wyatt, and I'm sure a lot of people feel this way, but Bray Wyatt, especially in the Fiend stage, like, talk about one of the top favorite wrestlers.
I missed
and
Fiend.
He just dropping down the list because it's like, what do you got? Like, I hate to say it, but like, you think this with wrestlers that get released from WWE and then end up in AEW and don't really seem to care about them in AEW. I don't think that's Tony Khan's fault. Same thing with wrestlers who Vince didn't get and Vince didn't want to put them on TV, and then Triple H is giving them a chance. It's like, maybe they were right. Maybe Vince and the powers that be were right with some of these people, because they get cut and then they're given these second chances, and it's like,
yeah.
Saraya, Dud.
Karrion
Kross.
Hit Row.
Bray Wyatt. I hate to put you on the list, buddy, but
I know.
The BRA is on there.
Do you think Bray Wyatt would be better, hypothetically, if he was in AEW? With his own creative control?
No, exactly. Because I think that's my point. Because I think he is getting a little more creative control right now with Triple H. And look.
It's not
That's
working.
What I mean. Same thing with, like, you know, I'm sorry to say, people like Saraya or Tony Storm didn't want to get a chance and, you know, complaining they didn't get their spot in WWE. And then, you know, and then I hate to go off in the AEW, but then you have AEW people getting mad that they don't have their spot in AEW, like Eddie Kingston literally complaining and just runs to Twitter.
We need every an time. AEW episode.
I'm just saying, every time Eddie Kingston has a problem, he runs to Twitter. It's like, you don't understand. Like, I understand you want to be that guy that's like, you know, because he has the supporters, like, oh, tell it like it is, Eddie, tell it like it is. It's like, but you don't understand the world that you live in. This isn't a world like that. Because trust me, I thought we lived in a world like that, where I could go around in my life telling everyone how it is, no matter if they were a friend, if they're a boss. And you know what I learned? Pretty soon, you start losing friends. Pretty soon, you start losing opportunity because nobody wants to deal with you because you're just a hothead that just, he tells it like it is. But guess what? If I have the power, what I don't have to deal with that. I don't have to work with that. So guess what? Move on to the next company, because guarantee you, if you have problems with AEW, you go to a bigger company like WWE.
You're screwed.
You're screwed. And then, you know, no disrespect to Impact Wrestling. Impact Wrestling, respect Impact, but you're going to end up in Impact. Well, guess what? You're going to be on TV every week like you want to, but you're not going to be making as much money as you want to, and you're not going to be having as many eyes as you want to. Or you could go to NWA, where you're not on TV at all, you're on YouTube. So you make your choice.
I'm
just saying, it's like these wrestlers, it's like these are you have an opportunity of a lifetime that millions of people wish they had, and that's how you're gonna treat people. Then get off my TV. I don't even want you on there.
Exactly.
Anyway, back to WWE, not to compare the two, but back to something entertaining. Judgment Day versus Beth Phoenix versus Edge.
Mm-hmm. Versus the Grit Couple. I didn't know that was their couple, didn't know that was their name. I just like Beth and Edge, or Beth Phoenix and Edge. I actually really liked this match. I liked the mixed tag. I feel like Finn and Rhea work good together, and then of course Beth and Edge just have that natural marriage, love, chemistry, and they just, I like seeing them together.
What were the Beth Rhea suplex spot? There was that spot, but then there was another big spot in there. I'm trying to remember.
It's when Beth had Finn.
Oh, the swinger spot. Not to call it that. I don't mean to be sexist and stuff, but that's just a little inside joke between us. So you had Beth powerbomb Finn and Edge Rhea powerbomb Edge.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That was. What would you rate this match? quickly because I don't even know what time, how we doing on time. I'd give this match a 3. I think it was awesome, especially seeing Edge and Beth together.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, I almost said Angelina.
Oh my God.
It just, by you know, we you know, retain back to our kid brain, and that's what I always remember seeing. I mean, yeah. Come on. Yeah. You know, imagine like watching an episode and then, well, this, yeah, it's just like any other episode. Like, hey, in season 10, he was having a live sex celebration, or season 5, he was doing that. Season 10, he's, you know,
that just came up recently. And then it was like the anniversary of it.
Yeah. Did you rate this?
Yeah, I gave it a 3.
Okay. So, I give it a 3. So where do you see this going? Beth and Edge is, I think, well, Edge wants to fight Finn Balor.
Yeah.
At WrestleMania, apparently. So I guess that's where we're going with that. Rhea Ripley is going to be with Charlotte Flair. Of course, she won the Royal Rumble. Dominic and Rey, I guess we're, you know?
I guess they haven't really set that up yet. Well, they're kind of setting it up, but they haven't really made it official, I guess, yet.
Win on that.
Yeah.
And Damian Priest, I don't know what they're gonna, where he fits. Maybe they'll do the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, and I would say he might be a good contestant to win it. He, you know, Damian Priest kind of reminds me where Baron Corbin was at one point. Because at one point, Baron Corbin was badass. Like in NXT, there was like a thing when Baron Corbin was so badass, and his song, I used to deadlift to his song in NXT.
Yeah.
And like the bell would ring and the crowd would start counting. Because, like, that was his thing. The crowd would start counting to see how long it would take for him to, like, beat his opponent. And, like, he was just so badass. And I feel like he, you know, obviously Baron Corbin kind of gimmick changes and kind of fell from that. But nothing against him. I think he's still, you know, a lot of people hate him. But I don't hate him, but I can manage him. Just as long as he's not on TV, my TV too much. No, I'm just kidding. Baron.
He's cool, but get him off the TV.
No. I guess it depends what feud he's in. Because sometimes they just, like... He's a good worker, I think. So sometimes they throw him into some random matches, but there's certain matches where people that he pairs with that he does pair with good. I just can't think of any right now.
I'm starting to wonder because they threw him with JBL, and I don't even know how he got onto Baron Corbin, but they paired him with JBL, and then I don't know if it was that JBL just couldn't keep coming to Raw every week, but they like dropped that, so. Now Baron Corbin's just, like, jobbing.
Yeah, because I think he was stepping away from WWE for a bit, JBL. I think I heard something about that.
Oh.
But, yeah, Baron Corbin is just, man, that sucks. But because I used to really like him at one point, like I said. But back to my point is I feel like that Damian Priest is kind of picking up that momentum, that energy kind of, that look, that feel. And Damian Priest, I really think he needs to be solo, especially when he came out. We'll talk next about the Elimination Chamber. Especially when he came out to the Elimination Chamber, he looked good solo. I think when he's around the Judgment Day, he just kind of doesn't really. I don't know. He stands out more by himself is basically my point.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll get with that. Like I said, maybe he'll do a Battle Royal. Maybe there'll be some kind of, I don't know, gimmick, you know, U.S. or Intercontinental match he'll be a part of.
Yeah.
Montez Ford, too. I know, you know, he's still in tag team with Dawkins, but just his entrance on Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
Oh, anytime.
Did we move on to that match?
Yeah, because we rated Judgment Day.
Oh,
we're talking
okay.
about Elimination Chamber now.
Okay.
I don't think I officially said it. Yeah.
Okay.
U.S. Elimination Chamber.
Yes.
But Montez Ford, that entrance and just seeing him solo.
Mm-hmm. Pretty impressive.
Anytime they want to split up that tag team, he's going to do good on his own.
Yeah. Where that leaves Angelo Dawkins, I don't know.
We'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. But Montez Ford did have those really good spots, like when he did the whole Spider-Man, Spider-Monkey thing.
Yeah, that was crazy.
That was really cool.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What were some other good spots? Well, Johnny Gargano did really good in this match, too. Like
surprisingly,
that
yes.
Bronson Reed spot when he freaking spiked him on his head.
Yeah.
The Bronson Reed,
Bronson
I think at
Reed
one point.
Is an animal.
Yeah, he had, who did he have? Did he have Austin and Johnny Gargano on his back and did a Samoan drop?
Oh, I think so, when he lifted him up at the same time.
Yeah, and then you had that spot where Johnny Gargano did that. The Poison Rana spot, and then he had the Hurricanrana spot to off the pod to Seth Rollins, where I thought he freaking hit his head on the corner on his way down. Yeah, That was crazy, where they were just kind of like chilling on the pod, sitting down, taking a break, and they just started attacking each other.
Yeah.
And then I'm telling you, I showed you the old look of the old Elimination Chamber. Mm-hmm. This new Elimination Chamber kind of scares me with that plexiglass on top, because they could just like, it feels like they could just go through it like a window.
I know.
And just fall like and a story.
They throw each other against it like so gracefully.
Yes. Like, whoa.
Yeah.
Because if you're familiar with WWE structures, they're not always built
right
tough, meaning, you know, you always see things where, you know, people yeah. break them, you know. Typical example, like the first Elimination Chamber, I think the door broke the first time Triple H got thrown to it. And I remember there was one specific Hell in a Cell with the Undertaker. I think it was Undertaker and Edge, where Undertaker grabbed, or no, it wasn't Hell in a Cell, it was Elimination Chamber, mm-hmm. where Undertaker grabbed the door and slammed the Elimination Chamber door, and they were like, oh shit, I think he broke it. Like, wow. So I mean, WWE structures are not known to be built solid. They're just mainly built for show. And yeah, if anyone goes through that plexiglass, like, I think that was like the last Elimination Chamber where Otis went through like two plexiglasses through the floor.
Right.
Like, what the? Anyway, this honestly, and it was the first Elimination Chamber match that was for the U.S. title. I'm going to give it a 4. I'm going to give it elite.
I'm going to give it a 4 too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The first Elimination Chamber will always be my favorite, but this has to be a good, maybe the one that Bray Wyatt won for the WWE title was probably second. This would probably be third.
Yeah.
Yeah, as far as best.
And then I guess just going based off of the way it ended, based on the last couple of eliminations, you know, I know we discussed Montez Ford. I suppose he'll have a spot in WrestleMania, mm-hmm. Against somebody. And then of course you had Logan Paul come in and what's that word? He costed Seth Rollins the match.
Right. Yeah, I'm sorry. I missed that. Let's go through that real quick. Yeah. Bronson Reed was eliminated first with a 4-way finisher. Yeah. Johnny Gargano by Damian Priest, I believe. Damian Priest by Rollins and Montez. Then Montez Ford was injured. And then, yeah, we didn't know
he
real
was
quick.
Not
if
injured,
it, yeah,
for real.
Yeah, we didn't know if it was a work or a shoot when he got eliminated by that curb stomp.
Yeah.
But it was really, like you said, just for the chamber to be open long enough for Logan Paul to run in.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. Logan Paul. Yeah. So I guess that's kind of what we're looking at for him and Seth Rollins. You know, they kind of been beefing, and mm-hmm. It was kind of when Seth Rollins recently on Pat McAfee on his podcast show. He's kind of talking shit about Logan Paul, and even Logan Paul even said, like, I have been hearing what you've been saying on the internet. So that should be a really good match.
Yeah, so Logan Paul versus the Astro Boy,
New Boot Goofin' guy.
Seth Rollins. What other things have we got going on that we haven't mentioned in Elimination Chamber? We got Becky Lynch and Lita are going to challenge Damage Control for the tag team titles. I thought that was a challenge for WrestleMania, I guess now it's a challenge, like, for Raw?
Yeah, for Raw. Tell everybody what you said, because that was a really good point when you said that you're hoping that most likely Lita and Becky will win the titles just to be able to go to WrestleMania with them, because you really don't feel like Io Sky and Dakota Kai are ready for like a WrestleMania spot right now.
Nothing against them. Maybe they might be. You could make it a fatal four-way where you do involve them, and maybe that's how you can involve Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler, because like, what's the deal with them? But my other way of thinking, my other thought was, what if you get Becky Lynch and Lita, new school, old school, winning the tag team titles, and you have them go against a new school, old school team, which is, you know, who was Lita's old school rival, Trish Stratus.
Yeah.
And then you can honestly pair anyone against Becky Lynch.
Right.
You could do Ronda Rousey and Trish versus Becky Lynch and Lita if you want to. The only bad thing is one team has to be the heel. So that's the only, that's why I think, now, after hearing it, they might go with the other route where you have Bailey versus Trish.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
and then Ronda Rousey, and I think Ronda Rousey and Shayna, I think, will end up going to WrestleMania for the titles.
Against Lita and Becky, maybe?
If they win. Mm-hmm.
If they win.
Yeah. For sure.
Then that sucks. Then if that was going to be the case, then Damage Control is probably just going to be on Bailey's, just outside during Bailey's match.
Right.
But I mean, they're great. They are going to be they're a great team, and they're a young team. So that's the thing. They have plenty. They're going to have the WrestleMania
times.
Yeah, to have the WrestleMania match and spot. So that's the only thing for that.
John Cena is coming back on March 6th.
So do you think they're going to go ahead and do the John Cena Austin Theory for the U.S. title?
I think they will, because on Raw, Austin Theory had his interview and he basically kind of like hinted at it, I guess you could say. He was kind of like just upset because, a couple days after Elimination Chamber, and he's like, the headlines are not saying Austin Theory, retained the U.S. title in the headlines right now, or John Cena is going to be back in 2 weeks. Like, so he kind of, name dropped there. So I think that's a really good good possibility.
Yeah, and I guess we might skip the Stone Cold match this year.
I don't know. I don't even know who they would put him with.
And then Undertaker's retired, right? Because there was a thing in that Bray Wyatt promo, or Bray Wyatt for Firefly Funhouse, whatever.
We were eating commercial dinner, thing, but I was going to mention
where he was like, there was the Undertaker thing.
Yes, and then when the Undertaker on Raw 30, Undertaker came, or Bray Wyatt came out during Undertaker's thing, and he whispered in his ear, so they had that little moment there. So
what's gonna happen? And then where does Stone Cold fit in this, if he's gonna even have a match?
Yeah,
I mean, I think you could have done Stone Cold and Bray Wyatt,
and honestly,
just, just do
that would have been a match.
Just do Brock almost and Bobby Lashley or something.
I
don't know. But when I constantly tell myself I don't know, that's like when it's most exciting.
Yeah, that's very true.
When it's unpredictable. And that's the thing. That's a pattern I've noticed with WWE recently, especially in the Triple H era, is it's less predictable, which I'm starting to... There's spots where it's definitely predictable, like the Royal Rumble and Cody winning. But then there's... I like the parts where I'm like, what's going to happen? Mm-hmm. How are they going to do this?
Definitely. Me too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And then I guess we'll see. I mean, I'm sure there's other... WrestleMania is the two biggest nights of the year for WWE, so I'm sure there's going to be a lot more matches to come that haven't even started them yet to build them up. But
and when's Revolution?
Revolution is March 5th. That is next Sunday.
Okay, so we'll be back for that, hopefully.
Yes.
Hopefully, if we're recording and we don't forget to turn the cameras on and everything.
Yeah. And then hopefully after that we have 35 days till WrestleMania.
Awesome.
Today, so pretty exciting.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we hope you enjoyed this episode, guys. If you enjoyed it and you want to support us, you can follow us at Caven Universe, or you can follow us at Jobber Circle. Mainly active on Caven Universe, but our Jobber Circle is our strictly wrestling feed. So check that out. You can also check out caven.com to check out some merch. And of course, like I said, we will be releasing a Jobber Circle bonus content tier on our Patreon, patreon.com/CavenUniverse. Kaylin, what else you got?
I think that's all.
Get your shit together, Peacock.